You are tuned into TCS Podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on TCS Podcasts. My name is Sheetal, and today we're about to explore ideas on the road to sustainability and green leadership. But before that, a bit of a context. Healthcare represents 18% of the US economy and 10% of the world economy. Environmental sustainability in healthcare is now considered vital to enhancing public health. In the face of potential climate change threats, healthcare leaders need to drive industry transformation through the lens of social and environmental responsibility. The healthcare industry presently faces two daunting challenges. One of them is making communities more resilient to health threats, of course, and the other one is reducing the industry's impact on climate change. It is therefore imperative that healthcare leaders address the industry's environmental footprint while working to improve the health and well-being of the communities they serve. Highlighting the direct link between social determinants of health and climate change could potentially shape the future healthcare landscape. And that is the context to the conversation we bring to you, the conversation with Seema Vadhva. Seema is the Executive Director of Environmental Stewardship for Kaiser Permanente, and her work here includes collaborating across a wide set of functions, facilities, purchasing, finance, community health, physician groups, and more. Now, Kaiser Permanente, remarkably, eliminated its 800,000-ton annual carbon footprint and achieved carbon neutrality in 2020. Thank you so much, Seema, for joining us on TCS Podcasts. Welcome, and how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing this important topic and for having me join this conversation today.
And you are really where we are going to start, really, Seema, because would love to know, you know, a little bit about your journey as a civil engineer to executive director at Kaiser Permanente. Could you walk us through that arc?
Absolutely. So as you shared, I started my career as a civil engineer. I was first focused on designing roadways and then neighborhoods, you know, and as my journey continued, I was looking for something that was more purpose-driven, something that had a higher order of impact on our world. And that led me to do some training on environmental stewardship. With that training, I had the opportunity to start to help a health system in the Northern Virginia area focus on environmental stewardship. And what was really interesting at that time is it was a field that was still burgeoning. It was not exactly clear on what it meant to go green. So, you know, really an exciting time because it provided me the opportunity to help define what that looked like and learn as well as drive change at the same time. And, you know, quite honestly, I continue to learn on a daily basis. This is an ever-evolving field with a lot of opportunity.
And, you know, you mentioned purpose. And Seema, I have to ask you this. Was there like a defining moment when you chanced upon that need to have purpose in all that you did? Was there something, some form of a pivot towards sustainability, a moment in your career, perhaps, or life, perhaps?
You know, I will be honest, I wouldn't qualify any particular moment as defining that decision. What I would say is, I think just as part of my upbringing, I grew up in Canada in a somewhat rural setting. I was situated in an area where, you know, we grew up on 20 acres. We had a lot of access to nature. We had, you know, a small family farm with chickens and horses. And, you know, quite honestly, I was inspired by my family, you know, the way we grew up, but also one of my sisters, my eldest sister, was working in this space. So I think it really was just part of my upbringing that brought me to this moment. And, you know, as I studied to become an engineer, really my goal was to drive good in the world through those skills. And I was fortunate to be able to leverage those skills I learned in terms of process orientation and logic-based thinking, but just apply them in a different field in a different way than most engineers do.
And thank you so much, you know, Seema, for sharing those personal moments from your life with our listeners today. But to come back to the Kaiser Permanente story, you achieved carbon neutrality in 2020, like I'd mentioned some time back. And for the benefit of our listeners, energy efficiency improved in the organization by 8% since 2013, saving $19.7 million annually. And then with water use intensity, that decreased by 15.3%. Where, Seema, do you see this trend progressing in the coming years?
That's a great question. So, you know, we continue to strive with a strong focus on energy efficiency. I will, however, highlight that the healthcare industry is one that is exceptionally energy intensive. When you think about it, hospitals are running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A lot of the equipment is very energy intensive, such as our MRIs. You know, when we do surgery, there's a lot of different energy demands. And quite honestly, I think our societal use of energy will unfortunately continue to drive that demand. However, we have also been very focused on how we come upon that energy. So we have utility scale solar and renewable energy farms, and these are ones that we actually developed. And so, you know, we are also very committed to on-site solar and have on-site solar at over 60 of our facilities. And of course, being energy efficient is a very important part of that picture. We want to make sure we're not using more than we need to, but we're also counterbalancing that with the energy needs and demands that we do have.
So now that you've given us the Kaiser Permanente context of things, if you were to look into the future and perhaps point to a few sustainability healthcare trends that are likely to have a great impact on the industry, which ones would you pick out for us, Seema?
The thing that I would highlight most when we look at trends is first to take a moment to reflect where we are. So broadly speaking on the movement, when we look back at, or when we look at how people think about climate change in the environment, it really has been focused on what are we doing to our environment? What are we doing to our air, to our trees, to our water? And I think the trend that really is going to be a catalyst is a new vantage point on how we look at the environment. People are now looking at how is the environment impacting our health? What is air quality doing to, you know, to our lungs, to our respiratory systems? And truly, I think that is what's going to catalyze action and catalyze new technology development in a way that we haven't seen before.
From what I'm hearing, the intersection of planetary health and human health is what you're talking about, right? All that happens in that one sphere. So in that context, seeing as you are in that space, Seema, what does the roadmap for Kaiser Permanente look like with respect to this trend that you just highlighted for us?
So I think the things that really lie ahead of us is further work on, I'd say, in three key areas. One of them is focused on low carbon sustainable operations. So what are we doing and how do we even more aggressively reduce our own environmental footprint? How do we decarbonize our operations? How do we reach beyond our scope one and scope two greenhouse gases, which relate to the energy we use, and focus on our opportunity to look at our supply chain as well and other elements of greenhouse gas utilization. The second part of that I would say is also, you know, not only within our own footprint, but how do we reach further upstream into the community and make investments in the community so that people are not actually getting sick from their environment? And then lastly, I think part of what's ahead of us is how do we lead in this, continue to lead in this space and bring others to the table? How do we engage, you know, not only externally, but internally with our over 200,000 employees and team members?
Yeah, interesting. So essentially decarbonization. So I love the sound of that already. You're looking quite far into time. There's also, of course, you mentioned community health and thought leadership, internal and external. Those are my big takeaways from your roadmap for the next 5 years. You brought up you know, supply chains. I want to stay there for a moment with you, Seema. One of the great verticals that we see for implementation of sustainability is indeed supply chain management. Can you share some thoughts on the impact that this would have?
Absolutely. So truly, we see our supply chain as the front door to sustainability. Ultimately, the decisions we make in terms of the products and services we are bringing into our facility are the ones that impact our environment and our decarbonization efforts at the greatest scale. So when we look at how do we drive change there, I think what we truly value is developing stronger relationships and partnerships with our vendors so that we may be able to work together to find new work streams, new technologies, new ways of delivering high quality, affordable care while still being responsible for our environment. And truly that all comes through setting high standards as well as partnering closely.
So far, you know, I realize, Seema, you've given us plenty to think about, plenty of ideas, indeed, in the area of healthcare specifically and sustainability. But if there are some others, some solutions perhaps that you believe ought to be explored further, what would you say those are?
So in terms of additional solutions that I would share beyond the healthcare industry, you know, quite honestly, I think one of the biggest missed opportunities we have broadly as a society is talking more about climate change. There is a variety of research that highlights that people understand climate change is impacting them, it's impacting their communities. But that same research then also highlights that people are hesitant to have these conversations with their friends, with their neighbors, with their families. Mm-hmm. And as we continue to see in the research that comes out in the most recent IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change report, climate change is upon us. And it's not something that's in the future. It's something that's happening now. And it really is impacting every sphere of our lives, especially on a personal level, our health. So I think the most important thing that we can be doing right now is to elevate the conversation on climate change at a personal level. So it is not a political conversation. It is not an economic conversation, but a personal conversation.
That is interesting because a lot of personal conversations usually tend to sort of devolve into someone else's responsibility, namely, you know, regulatory bodies, policy makers, and indeed organizations. So I'm glad that you brought it back to that level, personal conversations indeed. What are the ideas perhaps that you've set in motion in your context when you talk about this gap, right, the need for an amplified conversation around climate change and the environment? What have you done at Kaiser Permanente?
So, you know, as we talk about the importance of talking about climate change, one thing that I'll highlight is that nurses and doctors are some of the best advocates for delivering the message of climate change. And so what we are doing is developing ways and opportunities to amplify the voice of healthcare in this space. You know, research is showing us that they are trusted voices, and that voice continues to be trusted in this space. And, you know, if you think about it on a personal level, it's very different when you hear about politicians on the news talking about, hey, climate change is happening, or in some cases it's not happening. And imagine yourself in your doctor's office having a conversation, and then your doctor is telling you about how climate change is important for your health. It's a different conversation, a different meaning. And so, you know, the things that we're working on is finding ways to elevate those voices.
That is a very interesting point of view, you know, these trusted voices indeed, and how we can actually get them into the conversation to help the cause further. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners. Now on the podcast, right, want our listeners to walk away with actionable things, because one of the big, I think, conundrums is to make sustainability, the idea of sustainability, sustainable itself. I'm sure there are things that you've done, some hits, some misses. We do well to learn from your experience, Seema. So anything that you could share with us in terms of the tacticals involved in making sustainability sustainable?
That's a great question. And having been in this space for a period of time, I can appreciate how it may be easy for sustainability itself to wax and wane. I think one of the important elements to keep the program itself or the focus on sustainability continuing to move forward is I'll share a few different ways that we make that happen. One of the most important elements is to really engage top-level leadership in this effort. Without having engaged leadership to drive change, you may end up where you have a project around sustainability rather than sustainability being embedded in the DNA of the organization. Mm-hmm. And taking from that, though, it's important not only to have engaged leadership, but to set long-term, broad-reaching goals. And having that come from that leadership level, what that then means is that it becomes an organizational priority. And I can take that even one step further then. How do you then take those goals and make them operational? So I will focus on one tactical area of our energy work. So, you know, as we shared earlier, we had set and achieved a goal of achieving carbon neutrality by 2020.
Right.
And, you know, that really meant that we had our engaged leadership. We had a clear, long-ranging goal. That goal was announced, I believe, around 2016. And it was very ambitious. But then our leaders who are actively engaged with energy reduction developed action plans across the entire organization, and they set up the infrastructure, including teams and strategies. And while we have achieved that goal, that infrastructure that exists around the energy teams and the structures and the systems and the people and the mindset, that's still there. That's still in the organization. And we are now leveraging that to go further and achieve more success around our energy and our water and other areas as well.
Thank you for that example, Seema, because that really helps. So to summarize for our listeners, having an engaged leadership certainly helps weaving into your daily fabric the longer term goals in the area of sustainability. That's second. And three is, of course, operationalizing those goals. And those are huge takeaways for our listeners, I think. Now to come to technology, Seema, what are your suggestions for the role that technology could possibly play in fostering sustainability in healthcare?
So I'm personally a techno-optimist. I truly believe that technology is going to be what empowers us. In terms of the role, I would say it's key and critical. And, you know, there are a variety of technologies. You know, one that I mentioned before that I'll continue to lift up would be real-time energy monitoring so that we can really understand. And the same is true for things such as water, you know, really understanding at a moment in time, how is your building operating and how might you be able to really make sure it's operating in the most efficient manner.
Essentially, a whole bunch of great ideas have come through in this conversation, but then I get a bit greedy. So I'm going to force you, Seema, to pick three of your top ideas for a perfectly sustainable healthcare system.
Sure. If I could qualify that specifically from a technology standpoint, as I look to the future, I think that one of the ones that I'd be remiss without sharing would be renewable energy. I think that we've only started to capitalize as a broad society. And while Kaiser Permanente has been using renewable energy for a period of time, I really think that that is going to be one that that is going to evolve vastly in the next 5 to 10 years. And I think that if we look at even commuting and electric vehicles, that's another one where I think we're just starting to get more towards broad adoption of that technology. That's going to be a game changer when it comes to greenhouse gases. And the reason I mention that is, you know, when we think about operating, it's not only what our facilities do, it's what the people who work in our facilities, how they come to work, and the mindset they have that also contribute to that. And building off of those two others, the third thing I would really highlight looking forward is the concept of predictive analytics, really not only thinking about where we are, but leveraging technology and intelligence to help us see what may be coming ahead and prepare for it. And, you know, one application of this that I'll highlight that people may be able to relate to is when we have challenging air quality days. You know, understanding those are coming on the front end, but then pairing that specifically with notifying community members that suffer from asthma or suffer from respiratory illness to help them prepare and ensure that they have the medication that they need, that their inhalers are full and up to date, so that it doesn't cause, you know, further downstream harm.
Fantastic. I think three brilliant ideas. One of them, certainly renewable energy. The second one, more to do with transportation systems, to do with electric vehicles. And the third one, predictive analysis and all that comes with that territory. We're walking away rich with perspective, Seema, all thanks to you. Thank you so much for joining us on TCS Podcast to discuss with us the road to sustainability and green leadership.
Thank you so much for raising this important topic. And I'm so glad to have been part of this conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to TCS Podcast. We'll be back soon.